Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
And away we go, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Welcome in, my friends. We're at it once again. It's the Rob Brown Radio Program right here on The Fan Upstate. Hello, America. What's up, South Carolina? How we doing, everybody? Y'all good? I hope so. I hope everybody's just having the time of their life. You don't owe anything to me, though. You know, I mean, your undying gratitude and appreciation for the fact that I get up at 3:30 in the morning. But outside of that, you don't owe me anything. I do it for the love of the game.
Were you just singing Kim Carnes? Did I hear that right?
Is that who sings that song? Honestly, I know that song inside and out. You gave me $1,000. I couldn't tell you who sings that song.
I think it's Bill Medley and Kim Carnes.
And I owe it all to you.
Do you know where it's from, though?
Dirty Dancing, baby!
Okay, all right.
Yeah, man! Dirty Dancing, a movie that I realized I had hit a certain age because I loved it growing up. Judge away, I accept it. But then there was a day, not too far in the distant past, where I watched that movie again as an adult, and I went, her dad should have absolutely put baby in a corner.
Yeah,
all right?
She kind of deserved it. By the way, it's Jennifer Warren's, not. I was right with Bill Medley, though. It's Bill Medley and Jennifer Warren's.
Good enough for me. All I'm saying is, yeah. Baby definitively needed to be in a corner, and Swayze needed to be in jail. You creep.
Yeah, some
you
sort
creep.
Of a restraining order, and also when he walked up, probably the dad, especially that dad in real life, gets up and punches him in the face.
Yeah.
Because that dad
You're a grown-ass man, Swayze. What are you doing?
Yeah, that dad is that no-nonsense dad that he don't play.
Here's the thing. Like, he's not even real. Like, I as a kid, you saw the Dirty Dancing dad as like this authoritarian figure, right? He's just out there to make sure that baby can't live her life. And then you watch it as a reasonable adult and you're like, no, he's not even like a jerk in the movie. He had every right to like absolutely sue the pants off of that particular club establishment.
How many clubs like that did you go to growing up? Because that looked like the kind of place that you might have went to.
We were a travel family.
Okay.
We were a travel family.
Okay.
He was a good dad, and he gets this rap as like, oh, you know, he's just trying to control his daughter. Yes! That's his daughter, and that's a full-grown man Patrick Swayze is. The dad was the only character in that movie who didn't suck as a person. And once I watched that movie and, like, shed the immaturity of youth and went, not only was her dad right the whole time, but the fact that he wasn't kicking ass and taking names, like, his only fault is that he didn't put Baby in a corner more.
All right, according to the internet, Johnny was 25, Baby was only 17. That is
She's only 17.
That's also against the law.
Against
almost
the law.
Every state, just about, yeah.
Yeah, that is not
It may
good.
Not be against law here. I'm not
also,
I'm not sure.
Swayze's not 25 in that movie. All right, they can set, like, they might say it in it. He's 25 like every character in pick your generic teen coming of age movie from the 80s was 18.
Well, remember, like, Ralph Macchio was like 30 when he played Karate Kid, so I mean,
yeah. You know.
But he's a senior.
No, he's not. No, he's not. I can see that guy is not. I can. It's Patrick Swayze. The man's six pack has a six pack.
Well, in this case, he was supposedly 25, which is still.
It's more realistic.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not realistic. Let's just call it what it is. You have reached maturity when you watch Dirty Dancing and it clicks to you that the dad was the only good guy in the movie. The only one. Baby was an idiot. Baby's mom was an idiot. Swayze was an idiot. All right. Now, if Swayze just hangs out with all the dancing degenerates in their little late night orgy club or whatever it was, no problem. That's a very 25-year-old thing to do. I'm great with that. As a former frat bro, I'm totally fine. You get a bunch of the utes. They all go do their thrusting and grinding in a room together late at night away from the guest. That's perfectly valid. Perfectly fine. I used to want to work on a cruise ship because I heard the stories of staff parties on cruise ships. I was all in. That's totally understandable. I get that. But the minute that the 25-year-old dance instructor from the all-inclusive resort starts bringing the 17-year-old girl to some secluded cabin for private lesson. No, you creep, all right? The only thing the dad did wrong was not kick more ass in that movie, right? And I get it. He couldn't have beat up Swayze. Swayze was Swayze, man. That's Dalton from Roadhouse. That 65-year-old dad isn't beating up Swayze. But my guy could own that club with the lawsuit that he could have brought down on them.
By the way, Jennifer Grey was actually 26, playing 17.
Yeah, well, if we're going to pretend Swayze is 25, then Jennifer Grey was 17. We're either kayfabe or we're not. If Swayze's 35 and she's 25, I don't know what you have in common, but, like, okay, that's two functioning adults making adult decisions. I'm good with that. That girl's 17. She's in a room with her dad, for God's sake. When this movie came out, those of you of a certain age that were maybe in your those years when that movie dropped.
Why are you looking at me?
Yeah, I was after your Dirty Dancing era. For those of you that were in that little age bracket, did y'all watch this movie and be like, oh, that's so hot. That's so romantic. Because it's not. It's weird.
The girls did, for sure. That was definitely a big deal. By the way, I was out in 1987. So I had, you know, I was in college in 1987.
I was in diapers in 19. Okay, I wasn't. I was two, but you get the point. And while I'm at it. Since we're here, since I've already ruined the opening to this show, let's keep going. King Triton from The Little Mermaid, also a good dad and also correct, all right? Homegirl, you are 15 years old. You have never left the grotto, and you think you're just fin overhead in love with some cat that you know what you are? You're not a hopeless romantic Ariel. You're a stalker. At the best, you're a stalker. And all King Triton did was go, maybe don't run away and give up your entire life for a man that you saw for 26 seconds from an entirely different part of the world. You got nothing in common with this guy. You don't speak the same language. You don't walk on land. He lives on land. You live in the water. No, maybe don't go run away and throw away your life, heir to the kingdom of the seven seas. I don't get why it is that we let that story be passed off as one of the goats of all time.
All right, so your transformation into old is now complete.
Dude, this is not an old comment.
Well, the rants.
This is not. Yeah, because
I think a lot of people don't put this kind of thought into
it. You know who else
was
wrong?
Maybe they should.
You know who else was wrong? The dad from Footloose. No, shut up, idiot. If people want to dance, let them dance. All right? I'm not the guy who goes around and goes, oh, you kids and your music, it sucks. I just got to stop for me. Have your fun. I don't care. It's whatever. But if you are going to hit me with, it's an old man philosophy that the king would look at his 15-year-old daughter and go, maybe don't throw away your life as the heir to everything under the sea. For a man that you saw on a boat from 1,000 yards away, King Triton was right. The dad from Dirty Dancing was right. And they deserve some damn respect.
All right. By the way, I didn't say that I disagreed with you. It's
no, of course you don't, because you're a mature, responsible adult most of the time.
I don't know about mature.
Most of the time.
I'm at least old. So there's that. Wow.
I don't know what's going on. I had none of this planned.
Yeah, because
I had none of this planned.
I gotta admit, I remember more about Little Mermaid than I actually do about Dirty Dancing, even though I did see it.
Yeah. Dude, she quite literally is sneaking away to go to private dance instruction with a 25-year-old member of the camp dance team, and then comes to dad and is like, yo, I need you to float me a few $100. I can't tell you why, but don't worry. It's definitely not connected to the 25-year-old man that I'm very clearly getting physical with while I'm on a family vacation. Definitely not connected. And lied about it so that we're all on the same page. Baby's dad was the only good guy in that story. King Triton and Sebastian the Crab, the only good guys in that story. Flounder should be excommunicated from the kingdom of King Triton.
At least you didn't say eaten. I was waiting for you to say flounder.
Fricasseed, yeah, okay. As they say in the movie.
All right.
Sebastian and Triton, the only good
flounder
guys.
Flounder is now sushi.
Also, Tim just hit me with, is Rob a hater because he doesn't have moves like Johnny? Tim, let me tell you something, my guy. Rob Brown, in his younger and more formidable days, like when I was 25, had the moves like Jagger. He got the moves like Jagger. I was, for a very long time, I hope my mom's not awake yet, undefeated at wedding receptions. Wedding receptions, bang. Don't put me in your wedding party. I'm going to embarrass you. Just let me be there. I'm the life of the party. I promise you, back in the day, I don't know if I still do. I think I do.
Well,
I still
let's,
got
let's not go
the
there,
groove.
Because you're... Oh, you're just talking about dancing.
I'm saying dancing.
Okay. All right. Because I thought that was like, yeah, something else. All right.
You know.
Okay. Because when you said undefeated, that's where I went.
Yeah, that's where I thought you were. Listen, we're all adults here. Rob Brown used to be 25 and had the moves, my guy. And I'm talking versatility, baby. Waltz, foxtrot, swing, tango,
okay,
booty,
we're still
whatever
talking.
You want.
Okay. All right. So you threw that part. Okay.
And there's a reason. That dancing is sexy is all I'm saying. It's all I'm saying. There's a reason dancing is sexy.
Well, everyone knows what dancing leads to.
Point here is, I ain't jealous. What I'm saying is, even at 25, Rob Brown, yeah, absolutely knew without a doubt. If she can't go buy me a beer, I'm out. That was the test for your boy for many years. If I went to a bar, pretty young lady got into a conversation, I'd be like, hey, if I give you $10, will you go get us a couple of beers? And if the answer was no, then my answer was also no. Johnny, do better. Do better. Baby's dad, you have my respect. You earned it. Okay? You deserved better than you got. You weren't the villain of that story. What the hell are we talking about on the show today?
I don't know. You started singing She's Only 17, and I had to have a discussion with my daughter who said, that is gross. because I'm just jamming to it because it was killer back in the day. And she's like, how old is this guy? I was like, he was 15.
Do you know how many?
He was 15 when he wrote the song.
There are so many creepy 80s songs.
There is.
About chicks that are like 16, 17 years old. So what was going on with y'all back in the 80s?
Kip Winger said he wrote the song when he was 15. He was playing in bars when he was 14. So, I mean, that can be checked out. So,
no, seriously, yeah. Your Honor, I wrote it when I was 15.
Yeah,
trust me.
I believe him because, you know, rock stars never lie.
Oh, man, so many. What were y'all doing back in the 80s, bro?
There's no difference now. Now it's just more out in the open. There's no innuendo. There's no nothing like it was in the 80s.
Now it's just like, let's
bring up whatever the number one rap song is right now. And I'm sure that it's very vocal.
Okay,
about
let me rephrase that. If there's a song that's like, yo, unskinny, bop, 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 we all know what it means. We know what we're talking about here. It's a different thing when you go, she's only 17. If you're saying
I didn't know what unskinny bop meant when it came out. I seriously did not. I didn't get it.
I believe
most other lyrics. I got the "She's Only 17." That song, I thought it was stupid. What in the world is this talking about?
The great Jared E. Brown would say, "Bless your heart, bless your heart."
Okay, well, whatever.
Deanie Brown, bless your heart.
It was 1987. I was 18. So. Or was it 17? I don't know.
Lester said, this is the best segment of the Upstate Pulse ever. All right, we got a lot to get to today, ladies and gentlemen. NBA play-in games taking place last night. As predicted, the Heat cover, but the 76ers moving on. However, the Heat still not eliminated. They got a game against Chicago on Friday. However, bad news, Jimmy Buckets might be done for the season with a busted MCL, in which case, the Heat are, what's the word I'm looking for here? Screwed. We also, of course, had the Atlanta Hawks getting sent home last night. We're going to talk about the ramifications of that game as well as the play-in game on the West. Sacramento, New Orleans, no Zion Williamson, out with a busted up hamstring. Do the Pellies have a shot? We'll talk some basketball. A huge development out of the NCAA yesterday. We'll get into that and more. It's all coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
So, big time news out of the NCAA yesterday. There are some NCAA meetings going on right now that conclude today. And if this legislation is passed, it will have to be passed formally and officially on Monday, though the assumption is that all of these things are a formality. And that all of these things are going to officially pass the remaining board hurdles in front of them by the NCAA's executive board, et cetera, et cetera. But the new rule says that all undergraduate athletes may now transfer and play immediately if they meet specific academic requirements, and they now may transfer as often as they wish, which means we could theoretically see a student play at four schools in 4 years, provided they are ticking all the boxes of academic eligibility that are required of them. The legislation will not limit the number of times an athlete can transfer, and there are only two transfer windows still in play. However, athletes may not transfer mid-year and play for a second school within the same season. Now, the new rule is, according to those reporting on it, including Heather Dinich, the new rule is, quote, tied to academic progress. Some in college athletics have expressed concern about the long-term implications for graduation rates. Dan Lanning, head coach at Oregon, said in a recent interview, quote, one of the questions we have to ask ourselves is, at what point does the degree still matter? I think it's going to make it harder and harder if guys become multi-year transfer guys for them to actually have a college degree. If you graduate, there's a lot of times it makes sense. Change schools as many times as you want if you graduate. But on the same note, if somebody's changing schools three times, I'm wondering what their progress towards a degree really looks like. I think that's something everyone should probably have some awareness of, end quote.
So what he's saying is stop calling them scholar athletes. They're employees.
No.
That's what he's saying.
That's how it's taken, for sure. I think what he's saying is, you know, we've never really cared about graduation rates, but now that it's an argument against the portal, I super duper care about graduation rates. No, you don't. No, you don't. That's why Randy Shannons get fired all the time. That's why guys get canned when they have 90%+ graduation rates, but they go 6-6 because we pretend that we care. It's a nice little bragging point when your football team has a 75, 80, 85% graduation rate. Sure,
when
we love
Randy
to blow up the
Shannon
banners.
Coach?
Miami.
I know when.
Oh, God, years ago.
Right.
It's just the best example I have that's stuck in my brain.
That was before all this stuff, though.
I don't disagree. But my point here is I've never – let me ask you this question. If I was to go to Oregon right now, any school, any sport on the school's campus, how many graduation rate banners do you think they have hung up there? Zero. Zero. Nine.
So
none.
So why are they going to school then, Rob?
Why are they going to school?
If they're not graduating, why are they going to college?
Hey, listen. I am good with saying graduation rates are important, but I've been saying that the whole time. It's never been a factor until now.
So if they're not going there to go to school.
We ain't come here to play school.
They're going there to go to work.
They're going there to play ball and go to school.
Which is, they're going there to go to work. Seriously, I mean, if you transfer that many times, there are probably some that will actually go to class and get good grades and things. And then there are some that the grades will be done for them. I just, you know.
So what's new? So what's different about 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago? Nada. Nothing's different. That is exactly the same as it's been. There is only the difference that kids can go to a different school, and that's where the trigger comes in. Yeah, this is not any different than it's been.
Just call them employees. That's what they are. Quit worrying about.
But why weren't they that 10 years ago?
They're not. They were for me. They're not there for school. They're there to use school to get them to the next level. That's
first
fine.
Off.
And now they're there to get paid while they're at school, which makes them for sure an upfront employee, not, hey, how you doing? Shake my hand. Take this $500 or these keys to that Corvette.
As has been said 1,000 times and 1,000 times
again. Talking to you, Mikey, you know who you are. There's no way you paid for that Corvette.
A lot of Dodge Chargers on the campus of Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I'll say, back in the day, Division III, no way.
Has been said time and 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 time again, do you know what percentage of college football players make it to the next level? Don't worry, I do. The answer is less than 2% on average, and this is obviously going to be skewed towards the big schools, but if I go across NCAA football teams from the very tippy top to the very, very bottom, on average, there is less than one player per roster that will go to the NFL. Less than one per roster.
Oh, no, I'm not going to the NFL, but I made $5 million while I was in college.
Lonzo.
Why do I need to go to the NFL?
I really wish you would use realistic numbers.
Dude. We've had this conversation before.
Yeah.
I can go back and find the numbers again.
No. Realistic numbers. I'm not talking about Caleb Williams. I'm not talking about the Jaden Daniels.
All right.
I'm talking about Clemson's left guard.
And I showed you a bunch of players. You know what?
No, you gave me Caitlin Clark and Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels.
I didn't.
Give me Clemson's left guard.
I didn't give you any of those. I gave you the stuff from last year. And the other thing is, I'm not talking about that guard. Why are you specifically talking about that guard? I'm talking about the stars. I'm talking about those guys. And the guard's probably doing pretty well in Clemson. Probably driving something nice. I mean, good for him.
Maybe.
You get so angry about this stuff.
I do. And let me tell you why. I realized it last night. It does two things. Number one, let's say you are talking about the stars and the stars alone. I'm good with that. Let's say that you are. What you are doing is also making it harder on 98.4% of football players.
I'm doing that?
Yes.
Me.
I
have that kind of power.
Yes.
Because I don't think that I do.
So Clemson's left guard, who ain't going pro.
Oh, he's an employee. He's just in it for the money.
By the way, you don't know that for sure.
No,
left,
I don't.
Left
I'm
guard.
Making it. All right, fine.
You don't know who he is.
You're right. Furman's left guard. Wofford's left guard.
Okay, because Clemson has
SC
had
Upstate's
some
left guard.
Linemen make it to the big show. So
UAB's left guard. Pick a left guard that's not at a Power 5 university. And hell, for the record, pick probably 90% of left guards that are at Power 5 universities, not going to the show. 1.6%. I feel
like you're coming at me as someone who played left guard in college, and so it's just like, why are you making it personal?
Fine. Right guards.
That's better.
Right guards.
They don't really do anything.
I went left guard because that's a blindside guard. They're more.
Yeah, but there's a lot of pulling involved and things like that.
I was a good pulling guard.
The left guard is more fun than right guard.
So the point here, I came to this realization last night.
Unless you need Pitt. You're worked up an awful lot.
I've thought about this a lot, why this bothers me as much as it does. And I'll tell you why. Because I kind of take it personally. I realized that last night. I take it personally on behalf of the 98.4% of student athletes who will never play it professionally.
You are the voice of the voiceless.
I am a man of the people. Oh, my things. Wait. Man of the people! 1.6%. And whenever we have these conversations, it always circles back around to Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix and Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers and, like, the stars. There are guys that are going to get drafted in this NFL draft. Who weren't making $1 million a year. They're probably maybe $100,000 a year. But it comes back to me to the standpoint of you don't own them. They're individual people. I don't know if you know this, but if I go to school A and I am there for a year, and I decide after a year, this isn't a good fit for me. As a student, as a regular college dude, if I go to a school, let's say, I don't know, let's make up an example of a dude that's not me. If I went to a school because I wanted to be a high school teacher and basketball coach, and I get there, and the other guy, definitely not me, and I get there, and I'm there for a year, and I'm going through my secondary. This guy, obviously, definitely not me, going through their secondary education program, and they get assigned a practicum, which is where they go, hey, we're going to send you into that school, and you're going to go shadow a teacher, and you're going to spend a semester in that class as their teaching assistant, and your grade is going to be dictated to us by the teacher. Again, definitely not me. And you do that for a year. And let's say that while you're there, every teacher in that school goes, you don't want to do this. It's not worth it. It used to be worth it. It's not worth it. And then one day, as you're walking down the hallway, a student that you gave an F to because he didn't do his group project, I don't know, theoretically, throws a pencil box at your head, runs away, and does not get disciplined for it because they have a big basketball game the next week. Let's say, hypothetically, these things happen, and you go, you know what? Bleep this, I'm out. I hate this. You're right. It's not worth it. Thank you, coach. Again, this hypothetical person says all this, and you decide, this is not what I want to do. I thought it was, but it ain't for me. I don't have the patience. I will end up punching a teenager in the face if I take this job. I'm out. Do you know what I'm allowed to do as a student? I'm allowed to go, thanks, but I'm going to that school over there where I've been accepted because they have a different major. Say, theoretically, journalism that I'm interested in doing, so I'm going to go do that, and I just sign and say goodbye, and I transfer my credits to that school, and now I go there now. Am I a bad guy? Am I a bad person?
Throwing things in school sounds normal to me. I don't get yeah, but why
it,
you're upset.
For me, it was a student at the teacher, not the teacher at the student.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying that kind of stuff didn't happen either. By the way, top Colorado commit from last year, Jordan Seaton, received a seven-figure NIL deal. He was an offensive lineman.
Good for him. Attaboy, get the bag, young man. Get that bag.
Just saying, quit acting like linemen don't get paid because they do.
Nah, I'm not saying linemen don't get paid. I'm saying stop pretending like the top 500 players are the bottom 5,000 because they're not. The point here is you don't own these players. They sign a contract with you to play for a season. You provide them with a reason to stay or a reason to go. Just like every other student in a college, I can elect to stay or I can elect to go. They have the same rights, and I do not understand other than I don't like it. It makes it hard to roster build. Well, then be better. Make kids want to stay. It's not that hard. We'll talk more about it on the flip side. Rob Alonso and you, the Rob Brown Show, carries on, and it's the Fan Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I figured it out during the break. I figured out why this got me tapping the pen on the desk out of, I don't know, frustration.
Which is very annoying, by the way.
Agitation. Whatever the case. I figured out what it is. Now,
you know, someone's driving along going, what is that noise? What is that?
I only do it when the music's rolling. See?
Yeah, you're still doing it.
Can hear it now.
Okay.
I figured out what it is. It is the sense of entitlement from fans. That's what it is. It's the sense of entitlement. Because every time that I see people like they were yesterday up in arms about this, it is always, I want. This is how I want it to be. I want this. I want that.
Hasn't college sports, though, encouraged the we mentality? This is our school. This is our team. And so when you feel like it's your school and your team, you feel invested and you also feel betrayed when someone leaves your team.
Correct. And just like everything else, you're invested. So you'll be invested. You don't leave. You don't take off the colors. But how you feel about a thing does not obligate somebody else to feel the same way about the thing. And if you want a bunch of kids who go, I bleed orange and purple, or I bleed garnet and black, then go recruit those kids. It's the sense of entitlement. It's this sense of, I feel this way about this thing, therefore you should as well.
Tracy's I feel this stream. Way, and so do 80,000 other people
and
in the stands with me.
Still doesn't obligate anybody else to feel the same way. Like, great, I am glad that that sense of tribalism is strong.
More, the majority of the people in that stadium, if they were polled, would be more on the side that's opposite of you.
And yet, doesn't matter.
Like, five people there who might believe you, and you probably know all of them.
Okay, if I walk into any given room, Lonzo, and 95% of the people in that room all hold the same religious belief, am I obligated to go, you guys are right and I should feel that way? If I walk into a room and 95% of the people feel the same political belief, am I obligated to agree with the 95% because they all feel the same way and it's a big group of people?
Never work.
They do work.
They don't.
I don't care if you have 9 or 900 or 9,000 or 900,000 people together. You feeling the way about the thing does not mean that I need to feel the way about the thing. That's America, baby.
And you being the contrarian, you're never going to think the way that the majority of the people think.
It doesn't matter if I'm doing out of contrarianism or the most genuine internally held belief of all time. It doesn't matter.
Let's put all the radio stuff aside and whatever is a bit and what isn't a bit. Genuinely, you are the only person I've ever heard espouse the things that you are about NIL.
Well, again, doesn't matter. Because if 99.9% of Americans feel X is good, that does not obligate the 0.1% to agree with them.
Could you be wrong in your opinion?
In this case, no. No.
That's what I figured.
The belief that an athlete has the right to utilize what they have built through hard work and practice and dedication to profit off of it away from the team, that is an American right that we have.
You know what? You also have a right to complain about it and be upset about your team not being able to find continuity because people don't stay. And now they're allowed to leave whenever they want, whenever this is passed. And the midseason thing will happen eventually so that you can recruit someone midseason and bring them onto your team because you have a need. That's going to happen. Everything else they've wanted to happen has fell into place. That will happen too.
Who's they?
That would be of the Illuminati.
Who's they?
The Illuminati.
It's not the Illuminati.
This is a skull and crossbones.
So this to me is that there's two things right in that statement that I want to address. The first is the slippery slope fallacy. Well, all this has happened, therefore the real bad thing's going to happen. Maybe, but we're not there. We're dealing with what we're in front of us now.
Your philosophy in life, but anyway.
Correct. Be correct, and it's a logical standpoint that you should stand on. I'm not going to worry about
or slide down
2 years down the road. The second thing is, no, you are correct. It drives me up a wall when someone says a thing and they go, they. Then tell me who they is. Because if you can't tell me who they is, then you don't have a foundation for what you're saying.
Have you never said when you're thinking about your favorite team, we? You've never thought that?
Yes, but there's a defined we. We, this defined group of people. They is not a defined group of people. It's dark, shadowy figures in the distance. You got to tell me who they are. Otherwise, I got no reason to believe. There's not actually anybody outside. There's no reason to believe.
Well, it's kind of dark, so it would be shadowy out. So
that there are nefarious forces at play unless you can point them out. Now, all of that aside, let's go back to where this whole thing started. The belief that 99% of people think X is good. That's fine. Good. Good on you. Good on you for having a super majority.
Or bad.
What it does not do is create a world in which you are allowed to dictate the behavior of others. You don't. You don't get to do that. Now, if the dictation is don't hurt somebody else, then yes, you have a point. That's why we have rules on the books where the laws say you can't injure other people or impact their lives directly. That's a law. We're good with that. I can't go, I think murder's okay, stabby, stabby, stabby. You can't do that because you're impacting other people. But a player
that
going...
That was an extreme example that made me uncomfortable.
Now you know me. The reality here is because we think, because a billion people think that this is how one person should do a thing, does not mean in this country we can compel them to do it. If you want kids who, if you cut them open, they bleed orange and purple, or they bleed garnet and black, or they bleed blue and orange, or maize and blue, or scarlet and gray, or whatever, then go recruit kids like that. They're out there, for sure. There's lifelong Buckeyes out there who wanted nothing more as a kid than to be the next great player at the Ohio State University. Recruit that kid. Get that kid to come represent your school. He's going to give it his all. He just wanted to be a Buckeye from time immemorial. Just wants to be a Buckeye. Recruit that kid. But that kid going, lifelong, I bleed scarlet and gray, does not compel a kid from California to leave the sunny beaches of Los Angeles, fly to Columbus, spend a year there, and go, I hate this. I don't want to be here anymore.
It's pretty cold. So if the money's
exactly.
Not right, yeah.
Again, look, we've talked about this. I like to use me as an example because I'm a big-headed egomaniac and kind of a jerk. I'm the example. I have this job. Am I loyal to the station? You're damn right I am. I am at local sports all the time because I want to make sure we are invested. I am invested in the community. I am loyal to a fault to this station. But if somebody calls me tomorrow and goes, RB3, we want to hand you a quarter milli to come here and host the radio show, I got to go. And I told the boss when I got here, I've said this on the air, if I leave this place, it's because somebody made me an offer I can't refuse. And when I tell you what that offer is, you're going to shake my hand and go, congratulations. What an opportunity. We wish you the best of luck. Come back and visit. You, as you pointed out during the break, have been here a very long time. And it is your choice to do that. It is your choice to stay in this position. And I respect the bleep out of that. I could absolutely go to you and go, Lonzo, I think you could be making $1 billion doing this exact same thing somewhere else. But your decision to stay here is your decision to stay here, and I respect it. Without a doubt. I don't understand why it is that, well, you know, it makes it harder for me to invest in my school. Why? Why? Every year you watch the team is different than, well, I want to watch these kids grow. I don't know what to tell you. You don't do that. If you call the exterminator and a new bug guy shows up and not your old bug guy, do you call the old bug guy and go, you sell out? You sell out? You thin-skinned loser, you left my favorite bug company to go to a new bug company for new money. You have no loyalty. No, you don't do that. You don't do that to your barber or your garbage man or your mechanic.
It's a minority of fans that go at kids when they leave. I mean, unfortunately, they're very vocal, but it's very much a minority. I don't think that stadium that we were talking about earlier with 90,000 fans in it, if you go, this kid left, are you going to say something bad to him? I don't think a high percentage of people would do that.
It is not the attacking of the kids. It is the enormous pushback against the system established that allows these kids to make choices about their own life as opposed to have those choices made for them. That I don't understand. That's what I push back against. Texter says, Rob is too butthurt about this topic. You can equally say the student athletes are entitled. The mentality is nowadays, if I don't make enough money or playing time, I'll leave. Kids are soft. They need to be tough and work hard and earn their playing time. Okay, let's break that down, shall we? We got 3.5 minutes left. I got all the time I need. Is Rob butthurt about this topic? Nah, not really, because I got my way.
Well, you're very loud and angry.
It's radio. It's early morning. I got to keep myself awake.
No, you're the only one that loud in this building. But
second off, you can equally say the student athletes are entitled, end quote. No. What I would say is they finally get a piece of a pie. It's not all floating up to the suits in the top ivory towers anymore. Is that entitlement? See, that's the kind of language that people that are in charge utilize to make sure they get all the pie. They get the pie, and when you go, I like a slice of pie, then they go, oh, you're entitled. You're entitled. Yes! I'm the one doing it. Again, when's the last time you ever tuned in to watch those TV networks' board meetings? You've never done it. You tune in every Saturday to watch what? Football. And who plays the football? The football players. They're the ones who do the thing that we give the money for. And they're going, hey, we'd like maybe the opportunity to have a piece of that action, boss, as the great Marshawn Lynch would say. That's not entitlement. It's justified. Entirely justified. It goes on to say, the mentality is nowadays, if I don't make enough money or playing time, I'll leave. How many times have I said, do a better job at building roster out of kids who want to be there? Do a better, yes, that's how it works. And it's not new, dudes and dudettes, it's not new. And again, it is the only spot I am aware of, outside of parents to their own children, where if a guy goes, I've got a better opportunity elsewhere, I'm going to take it. We go, boo, the audacity. How dare you? How dare you decide for your own betterment you're going to take a better opportunity? How awful of you. What a terrible decision. Eh, we don't do that. Again, if you go to your local barbershop and you find out that the guy's been cutting your hair for 5 years left to take a better opportunity somewhere else, do you call that guy and go, you suck, bro. I trusted you. I was invested in this barbershop. No, you've never done that. So why is it that this is, oh, these kids need to learn a lesson. Do they? Do they? And what expense do they need to learn it at? I don't agree with that. Kids are soft. They need to be taught tough. They need to be tough, work hard, and earn their playing time. Like, okay. I see that you are renting apartment in the empire of idealism over which Lonzo remains the emperor. No. No. When I started in this business, I started as a weekend board op. And then I went to producer of a morning show. Did I earn all that? You're damn right I did. And at any given point, had I gotten a call from another station that said, hey, Robbie B, why don't you come on over to City X? We're going to go ahead and give you your own show. I'd have been G-O-N gone. I had immense loyalty to my first radio station. They allowed me to keep my job when my dad died. They allowed me to finish school while I was working. Hell, there was a point in time for one semester where I was hosting the morning show over a computer at 6 a.m. in the parking lot of the media relations school at the University of West Florida because it was the only way I could finish school and do my job. And the boss said, one semester, you got it. So I would drive every morning at 3 a.m. to be in the parking lot at UWF at 5, to be on the air at 6. I would host from the front seat of my car from 6 to 10 to then go into my 10 o'clock class. And my boss let me do that. And I was immensely loyal. Until the day I got a spot that I had to take a job that was a better job and a higher paying job to make my life better. Am I a bad guy? Am I disloyal? Did I not work hard enough? Did I not show character by sticking it out?
All I know is I've never worked with anyone who talks about leaving more than you do.
And yet here I am going on 5 years at this place. You know why? Because they, like your football team should try to do, have earned my loyalty. They have earned my loyalty. I don't want to leave. And the only spot I would leave for is if someone made me an offer that when I came in the next day and said, Lonzo, these people want to pay me this much, he'd be like, wow.
Well, you've kind of said that you would do that for the entire time you've been here, so I wouldn't be surprised.
It's not surprised. It's that you would not go, I can't believe how disloyal you're being. I can't believe you're not helping us roster build here anymore.
No, I would be like, yay, I'm starting a new job. Because that's how I've survived here for 24 years, because people come and they go, and then you start a new job, and it's like starting over again.
Texas said, my problem with it all is, do they care about their education? Because if they get hurt, what are they going to fall back on? 1.6% go to the NFL. That means, and I'm real bad at math, I'm dumb, that's why all my jobs are words jobs, 98.4% of college students do not play professional ball.
As long as they all went to financial classes, what they're going to fall back on is all the money they made in NIL, and they can live, you know, comfortably the rest of their lives.
I'm sorry,
1.2% of those people or whatever.
1.4%.
Okay, my bad.
No, sorry, 1.6%, 98.4% that don't go pro. Who, yes, get that bag while you can. Hey, speaking of getting the bag, Caitlin Clark's very rich. We're going to talk about that coming up in the next hour of the show. We got your water cooler cheat sheet, top three sports stories you need to know coming up next. We got Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast at 8:40. It's Thursday. You know what that means. Fight Club with the great Lonzo coming up at 9:20. And before all of that, ladies and gentlemen, sit back. Take your socks off so that he doesn't blow them off. Lonzo does your sports flash now.
Consolation. Not only do the Miami Heat face elimination in play-in game number two, but they may have to do it without superstar Jimmy Butler. The Heat fell to Philadelphia last night 105-104, moving the 76ers to the seventh seed in the playoffs and setting Miami up for an elimination game. Jimmy Butler stayed in the game despite an injury at the end of the first quarter. But Butler is feared to have an MCL injury and will have an MRI today. Miami faced Chicago Friday night. The Atlanta Hawks season came to its conclusion last night with a loss to the Chicago Bulls, 131-116. Clint Capella, Trae Young, Bogdan Bogdanovich, and Deontay Murray combined for 95, while the rest of the team was responsible for 21 total. Kobe White notched 42 for the Bulls. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for a brand new local show. Wire to Wire, Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, all Wire to Wire.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.